stuff. You know, it's, you know, there's all kinds of things out there for anybody that wants to get started into this realm. But, you know, this is the stuff I do. So, yes, I do record my show from home. And it's kind of funny because, you know, I have to announce to the household, so to speak, I'm recording. And I jokingly say, I need a red recording light outside of my home office, you know, to let people know. But anyway, so there's different kinds of, you know, blogging out there. There's, you know, written, and then some people call this V-blogging or, you know, V-casting, podcasting. You know, distinction has blurred. It used to be podcasting was strictly kind of the voice thing, and then now we add video to it. And so it just kind of depends on what you want to do, how professional you want to be, et cetera, et cetera. And again, so this is what I use. So the first thing that I'm going to mention is the software I use for recording and editing voice only or voiceovers, and I use Audacity. Audacity is free. It's a free download. It does have a bit of a learning curve, but there's all kinds of different options that you can use for correcting various different things like echoes or removing empty spaces or pauses, etc., etc. And it works pretty good for that sort of thing. The microphone that I use, generally speaking, and again, it kind of depends on what exactly I'm doing, but I use what's called a Blue Yeti microphone. There's two versions of the Blue Yeti, and I just bought, if you go out to their site, there's different packages, so to speak. I just bought just a regular, ordinary microphone from Best Buy, and I like the Blue Yeti. It has different pattern modes for recording. So you can record a single person, a single direction. You can record in stereo, omnidirectional, which gets all of the sound, and then bidirectional, which is useful if you want to record somebody else. And it has to do with the different condensers, which are, for all intents and purposes, the actual microphones themselves. And the cost, depending again on the package that you get, $130 for just the microphone, $250 for the Pro, and $270 for the Pro Studio. So what's the difference with the Pro and the Pro Studio? There is a Pro mic, which has a bit better recording specs, with respect to the sample rate, sensitivity, etc. Don't want to get into any details, but basically it's, when it comes to all of that, it's how high or low of frequencies will it pick up. So the Pro mic, it's a 24-bit recording, which means that the sound file itself is, and this is kind of where that sampling rate comes into play, the more bits you have, the bigger the file, but also the better editing that you can do, especially if you're doing music with instrumentals and things like that. And then along with the 24-bit, it picks up to 192 kilohertz. So again, it's that better frequency range, as opposed to just the plain old Blue Yeti mic, which is only 16-bit and 48 kilohertz. If you're just doing voiceover types of things, then just the plain mic is fine. But again, if you're doing vocals, instrumentals, if you're doing actual recording of music, then you want a better mic. The Pro mic is better. The Pro Studio comes with the Pro mic, and then it also comes with what's called PreSonus Studio One Artist software, which is really more than I need. That's why I use the Audacity. But again, if you're looking to beef up your recordings, especially, again, if you're a musician, there's some added features in there that you can, you know, clean up and do some of that. If you've ever watched any TV show that shows people recording, you know, they have that big sound mixer, station, you know, where they're changing all kinds of stuff. So Presonus Studio One will, you know, do that. The Pro Studio also comes with another software called Isotope Nectar Elements. This is the vocal processor. Audacity has many of those capabilities, but the Isotope is more intuitive and is easier to work with. And the website, if you're interested, is Blue Mic, blue like the color, mic.com. And so you can go to that site and you can pick up the Yeti Studio, again, the Yeti Pro Mic with that software for $150. The Studio One is $130 to $430, again, depending on the version. So that software, that Presonus software, you can purchase separately. And I thought that was interesting because you can get the software and the mic for $150, but if you buy the software, it's $130 to $430, again, depending on the version. And the Nectar Elements is $129 per their site, which then made me think, well, is the software bundled with the Blue Yeti, the Yeti Studio, a trial or a limited version? It is not a trial, but it is limited on the Studio One in that it has no MP3 output, meaning that when you record whatever you're recording, you can't make it an MP3. It also has no mastering, and then there's no ability to add third-party plugins. On the Nectar Elements, it is not a trial or a limited, so there, you know, there's no limitation, which means if you're interested in that software, and both sites, you can do a trial version of the software, so you can see, you know, what exactly the features are. You can test out the Audacity. You can use the Audacity for free, but then you can test those trial versions to see, you know, especially if you're a musician, you can test those out to see if it's something that you might want. For MP3 output, one of the things, so in order to save the file as an MP3, which, you know, a couple of shows ago we talked about the different file formats for audio, and for MP3 output, Audacity cannot export to an MP3 by itself. It needed an encoder, and the encoder that I use is called the LAME encoder. And so I wondered if you could take that same LAME encoder and add it to that Presonus Studio One. And so I did a little Google check, and on the forums, it seems like it works. Again, I don't have the software, so I don't know if it works, but it did appear that you could do that. Otherwise, on the Presonus site, you can buy their encoder for $10. You can try the LAME, see if it works, and then if it doesn't, you can always buy their MP3 encoder for an additional $10. And it was interesting, as I was doing all of this research and thinking about this, I thought to myself, did I just talk myself into buying a studio version just to, you know, play with the software? And I thought to myself, maybe, and maybe I'll be donating my mic itself, because goodness knows I don't need two of them. So I use my Yeti primarily when I'm recording video, and right now I'm recording the show with my Yeti as well. The reason I do it when I'm recording video is because otherwise, generally speaking, if I'm just recording audio, a lot of times I will use a headset with a microphone. And the headset that I typically use, used for years, is the Logitech Wireless. I like wireless because I like to walk around. The Logitech Wireless Headset H800, which is $68 to $70. Some people swear that in order to do high quality recordings, you really need to use a wired or USB mic. But the wireless has worked fine for me for everything that I do. As I mentioned, I like the ability to be able to get up, walk around, you know, do whatever I need. The range is about 40 feet, and the headset is, I like it. It's pretty comfortable. It's pretty lightweight. It doesn't squish on my ears. It is sound canceling, but not to the extent that, you know, my ears kind of feel hollow. I don't use it when I'm recording video because it kind of makes me look like a spaceman. And with the Blue Yeti, I can put it out of the way of my webcam so, you know, it's not in the video way, you know, it's not in my way. And so I don't like the look. The Yeti does have a headset port, so you can listen to yourself as you record. I don't do this. At least I never have. You know, sometimes I think, well, maybe I should. But a lot of people will say that you should because you listen to yourself as you're recording, and it does help cut down on those ums, ahs, those long pauses, because again, you are listening to yourself, and so you're more watchful of those kinds of things. I always kind of felt like it would be weird, you know, hearing that back feedback, but I'm not a professional, so it doesn't matter. I also recently bought a new Logitech headset. It's the Artemis gaming headset. Again, it's wireless. I used it a couple of times to record my show, and I wasn't really crazy about the sound quality that came out of the microphone from the output side. And it also, one of the issues I had is that the microphone itself, the default setting is, because it's not only wireless, but it has a rechargeable battery. All of the wireless have a rechargeable battery in them. But the Logitech Artemis Gaming, the default setting for that wireless, and part of it is because if you are a gamer, you're probably already familiar with, you know, the Logitech gaming headsets. They have a lot of bells and whistles. They have, you know, like all kinds of, you know, LED color like outputs. They're really, really cool looking, et cetera, et cetera. But because all of that takes battery, the default setting, which I wasn't aware of, is if there's no sound coming from the headset, then the whole thing shuts off after 10 minutes. So I was recording my show, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't, wasn't recording anymore. And I hadn't noticed it, even though, you know, the Audacity software is right in front of me, and, you know, it has these, on the audio track as it's recording, it has the frequencies and all of that. I didn't notice that it was flatlined, because that's what it does when it's not recording anymore. And so I was really annoyed with it, and I was going to, you know, take it back. And then I discovered, oh, yeah, here's the setting. So once I changed that setting, then it was fine. But again, I really wasn't crazy about the recording sound quality. But I will say, from a listening side, if you like to listen through a headset for whatever reason, you know, you like things up loud and nobody else wants it loud, I will tell you, from a listening side, that headset is awesome. It simulates surround sound, and oh my goodness, it, you know, gamers, you know, with, you know, all of the, you know, booms and explosions and everything will find it awesome. For music listening, it is great. Again, being wireless, you know, it's awesome. You can get up, go to the refrigerator, get a snack, whatever it might be. I did find them a little bit on the heavy side, and a little on the tight side. And sometimes I just think that my head and my ears are just not built for headsets. And that's a key thing with a headset is, you know, it's nice if you can, you know, try them on and wear them for, you know, more than 5 minutes. You want to wear them for, you know, at least half an hour, you know, to see what it does. Because, you know, like I said, you know, when sound canceling headsets, because they fit, the air cups fit a little tighter to the ear. When you take them off, it's almost, you know, like being in high altitude, not quite ear popping, you know, but it does have a little bit of anyway. Anyway, for video recording, when I'm doing video recording, I use the Logitech C920, or at least I used it for the longest time. It's about $62, depending on. But I mentioned also last month, because I talked about webcams, I mentioned the Logitech C92, which is $100 with background replacement. I now have one, and I've used it a couple of times. It's fine. I like it. I haven't done the background replacement yet, and I really was thinking I really should do a comparison, record a little video with the one and record it with the other to see if the video quality is anything. If you don't need green screen capabilities, the C920, it's great, and a lot of people, you know, it's still their go-to video camera webcam. They both have a 78 degree field of view, but the C920 is widescreen video calling, so when you're using it for, you know, Skyping and whatnot, it'll display in a wide screen, and sometimes that leads people to think that it's wide angle, but it's not. Again, it's only doing that 78 degree field of view. If you need a wide angle, or you want the wider angle of view, and that just means how much visual is it going to capture. So, you know, if you're trying to do demonstrations on some kind of a board or something like that, that's where you want that wide angle. If it's important, look at the Logitech C930E or the Logitech Pro Ultra Wide Angle. Basically, they're the same webcam. The 930E, Logitech says, is for business use. But basically, you know, as far as I can tell, they're the same. They both come with, and the 920 as well, and the 922, they come with the Zeiss optics. So, you know, really good optics. The 930 and the Pro Ultra Wide are really good for group video conferencing for $85. I mean, otherwise, you know, for video conferencing, you're, you know, talking, you know, other equipment can get very expensive easily. And then for the video editing, rendering, packaging, putting it all together, I use Camtasia Studio. And again, there's all kinds of other video software, but the reason that I use Camtasia Studio is, as an educator teacher, there's an academic pricing, starts at $169 versus the $199. I think it's easy to use. It's got enough capabilities to do whatever I want. Again, I think it's easy to use. For a long, long time, it frustrated me because it was only 32-bit. And today's computers, you know, they're 64-bit, which means better capabilities, faster, you know, with all of that kind of processing. And the 32-bit could not take advantage of today's higher core processors. But earlier this year, I think it was, they released a new version, which is now 64-bit and can take advantage of higher processors, which is important. That processor and memory aspect is important in the rendering aspects, which the rendering aspects is changing your video into a format that you can upload into YouTube or wherever you want to do. So keep in mind, again, I'm not a professional at any of this. So while I do strive, and my primary uses for all of this is doing demonstrations and videos for my classes, and, you know, recording this show. I'm not doing anything to raise money out on YouTube or anything else. I do want a good quality product. I want the video clear. I don't want it fuzzy or blurry or anything. I want my voice quality to be good. So I, you know, everything that I mentioned before, it gives me a good quality product, again, for my needs. Okay. Professional podcasters, video bloggers, they use other products, and there's a ton of different things out there depending on exactly what it is that you want to do for the purposes of, you know, whatever you need. You can even, and there's plenty of books and websites and all kinds of information out there. you know, if you're going to do podcasting or video blogging as a, you know, a professional, one of the key things is to have a good room. And there's some room quality issues. I sometimes get some echoing effect because I'm just recording in my office, you know, which is a, you know, 10 by 10 room with furniture. And so sometimes there's a little, you know, echoing off of that. So there's ways to, you know, dampen the sound, et cetera, with all of that. There are also some other alternatives, you know, from a software aspect on the video side of things that are less expensive than the Camtasia. And there's even some free stuff that's out there. And even YouTube itself now has some capabilities where you can record directly at the site, upload all at once, and even some editing abilities. And one of the things that I do like about YouTube is YouTube will do closed captioning kind of built in. So, you know, specify the language that you're using when you're talking, and then the closed captioning is automatic, and it's pretty accurate for the most part. If closed captioning is important to you and you want completely accurate closed captioning, again, with Camtasia, you can do that. There's all kinds of different ways to do, you know, closed captioning for video if that's important for you. So again, you know, these are not necessarily recommendations, you know, as it is. I'm just sharing, you know, with you what I use, and if and again, there's, you know, forums and all kinds of recommendations. The Blue Yeti Pro microphone for many people is the go-to microphone for doing the recordings. And if you go to that bluemic.com site, they have some even higher end microphones. It really does depend on what your purpose is. Musicians, you know, that's probably one of the, you know, that area, if you're recording, you know, if you're self-recording music for whatever reason, that's going to get really, really expensive, because then you are going to want to have some sort of a sound mixer so you can control, you know, almost similar to, you know, our stereos with our equalizers. You're going to want to, you know, be able to do some of that, because you're going to want to pick up, you know, those better frequencies, especially if you're adding instrumentation in any way, shape, or form, you know, playing the guitar, you know, while you're singing, whatever it might be. And that's, you know, and again, that's where some of that software that comes with the Pro Studio comes into play, you know, with that, you know, with this two different software packages, the Presonus Studio One and the Isotope Nectar Elements. And there's also some software out there that can even add some instrumentation if that's, you know, again, you know, if you don't play an instrument, but you want to add some instrumentation, there's even some software that will do that, believe it or not. You know, you can sing the song and then, you know, specify the style you want, whether you want calypso or, you know, disco or, you know, whatever it is. I'm not a musician, and everybody will tell you that I'm, you know, tone deaf. In fact, I mentioned that I'm practically tone deaf when we were talking about sound qualities with music audio files. So I don't play an instrument. I can't sing. You know, I'm not into any of that. But if you are a budding musician, you know, again, there are things to do. I mentioned that Audacity has a lot of different capability. It will record in stereo, and it has you can set the hertz reading, i.e. the frequency reading, and you can determine the frequency readings for all of that, and you can go in and do some editing. There's all kinds of different effects, so you can you know, remove some of that echo. You can use it to remove some of those pauses. You can look at your recording itself, and you can delete some spaces out of there. So if you have that, you know, one of those long pauses and it sounds kind of awkward, you can remove those. You can, if you need to shorten your track, which I run into occasionally because it's only a 30-minute show, and you know, with the opening and the closing, I need to keep my recordings to 29 minutes, and sometimes I run a little over. There's an ability to do that because it'll change the speed of the recording, which is an interesting thing because you have to be careful when you're changing the speed, because it can also change it. It's changing the tempo. So, you know, I sound like I'm talking a little faster, but there's another one in there that'll do a similar type of an effect, but it'll also change the pitch. And then you wind up sounding like the chipmunk. So, discovering and playing with those different effects is kind of fun. There's an effect that'll remove, you know, some scratchiness, you know, all kinds of different effects. And I've, again, never played with them because all I'm trying to do is do a voice recording. There's a good help. It's in the form of a wiki, similar to Wikipedia. But the help is pretty good. And keeping in mind that, again, Audacity is a free product. It's maintained by a community that donates their efforts for free. And so even though the help is pretty good, sometimes it's not necessarily written for somebody who doesn't know anything. And so when you read through it, it's using terminology, recording terminology. And so a lot of times, because I'm not into recording and all of that, sometimes I don't understand completely what I'm reading. And so then I have to go back and look and see, what does this term mean? And, you know, what does that term mean? I didn't go to school for this. And, you know, so I don't know everything that goes along with that. There's an ability to analyze your recording to, you know, see if it's good. I remember when I first started doing the show, and I used to record it in the studio, and then I started recording from home. And Dave Cole, who is our wonderful, wonderful station manager, he said, "You came in a little hot," and I had to look up and see what that meant. Well, it meant that I was a little loud and the frequency was, you know, kind of up there. Well, there's a way to tone that down as well. So anyway, that, you know, for all of you budding podcasters and bloggers, there's just some hints and helps and ideas to help get you started. So everybody have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next month. Take care, everyone, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
You've been listening to Technology Matters with hosts Christine Lazzaro.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. I am so excited for today's show on the Kenosha Unified School District's Theater Arts Program. Later this month, not just one, but two KUSD main stage musicals West Side Story, and 1776, will be participating in the International Thespian Festival in Lincoln, Nebraska. Today's program will be in three parts. A panel is here with me in the studio to